بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are finally advancing towards the end of this podcast series. It's alhamdulillah, it's been quite an interesting time so far. It's the 21st episode today. That means the 21st revelation. And I have to say that the order of revelation was something that I could not find it everywhere, because I think this is also a very difficult task to combine, as there were to set the traditions in chronology is one of the biggest challenges that the scholars of Islam have faced back in the time. I mean, the events took place, yes, but when exactly? That is where the challenge comes, and this is where that's why I think, in my humble opinion, it was not easy to find many of these chronology of the revelations, because sometimes, you know, a part of surah was revealed and the other part was revealed at some other point, and some surahs are really long, some surahs are really short. So yeah, but at least we know the context of each and every one of them, so that's nice. So the surah at hand today is the last surah of the Quran, actually. This is a surah that I think I tried to watch lectures on it. I did, and I also read some articles for this surah, what the scholars from the past have written, and it is very it's lengthy. It's quite an effort to understand the surah. I mean, the surah actually also reflects, and it is in quite in contrast to the first surah in the Quran, the surah Al-Fatiha, and in its subject matter, and how it talks about, so to say, the good and bad, the evil and I feel comfortable using the word evil now, because we discussed that yesterday. So today we are going to talk about certain influences. So yesterday we talked about seeking refuge in Allah from things we do not have control over. And we also came to the root cause, one of the root causes of evil. You know, and again, for people perhaps who have not listened to the previous episode, in Islamic understanding, evil is something that does not exist as an entity. It is basically an absence of good. And the parable for that is more or less like how darkness is absence of light. But darkness in itself is not evil. So I cannot say that just because darkness is compared to evil, I'm comparing darkness to evil. Of course, it's not. I mean, for some cases, darkness can also be a piece of solitude. Place of solitude, place of of reflection, of meditation. So darkness does not always mean that it's negative. Anyway, I will before I get explaining the surah and the ayah that I picked. I have to say that the surah yesterday, today and tomorrow, they will be quite, they are quite enriched in their substance. And it is not, this episode is not doing justice to the entirety of the message behind the surah. I'm going to pick a very small part of the surah to explain, so that I'm within the time limit. But for example, there are lectures that go up to 2.5 hours long just to talk about the surah. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about important questions today. We got to the root cause of evil, which was the jealousy, right? So we talked about how jealousy can lead people to think and wish ill for others, and which is also one of the causes of lack of gratification. In this, we talk about where does the jealousy come from. So we know the cause, but we can now associate the cause to its root. Where is this all happening? Like, where is the source of this? So this is what we will be referring to. And in my experience, this also has a quite a standpoint, a prominent standpoint from my own experience that I'm also excited to share. About my personal life in this episode. So the surah, it's called Surah An-Nas. An-Nas means mankind. Again, it has been translated in the same way by the different scholars that I referred to, and it is the Surah 114, and the ayah at hand I am taking is the last two ayah, the 5 and the 6. So if you look at this surah, it has quite a melody in it. It ends with an-nas or as at the end, and the last two ayat are. So the English translation from Imam Sayyid Abul Ala Maududi, which is as follows. I mean, you know, if you look at his, if you go online and look for his explanation on this surah, it is literally, I think 10 pages long, or even longer, because it's on the website. Anyway, so it says the last two ayah, they say, from the evil of the whisperer who returns over and over again, who whispers evil into the hearts of men, whether he be from among the jinn or mankind. So, from the evil of the whisperer who returns over and over again. I will look at this a bit later, but I would like to mention the last ayah, which says, into the hearts of men, whether he be from among the jinn or mankind. So two creations have been mentioned here, jinn and mankind. So jinn is, so the understanding of jinn is not a ghost, as many people say that it's a ghost, or it's, you know, someone died and his soul is walking around the earth. It is not like that. I mean, that is many people, you know, translate as jinn as a ghost, but jinn is a creation in itself. It's a creation that we believe in Islam that is not visible to the human eye, and we have a community, we are people, there are jinn also, there are people who, like, for example, there are people who spread mischief and corruption in the land, there are also jinn who do that. So how they work and how this entire creation works, what is, where they come from, whether or not they will be held accountable, how, you know, this entire topic is outside the scope of this podcast, of this entire podcast. I am not going to talk about that, but this is, if you are interested, I can highly recommend you to read the tafsir, the commentary on the surah Jinn. There is a surah called Jinn in the Quran. You can look at that, and you can refer to the lectures from Dr. Yasir Qazi, and I think he has done a wonderful tafsir on that, and Dr. Noman Ali Khan, of course. And I have to extend my deepest gratitude to Dr. Noman Ali Khan, whose lecture I watched to prepare the talk for today. So the jinn, exactly. So, you know, we are taught how to seek refuge in Allah from the whispers which are coming again and again, and also whispers who comes into the heart of men. So now it's quite interesting here. I am so sorry. I think I made an error. So the ayah is 4, 5, and 6. It's not 5 and 6. So, but the translation, I give you the translation of the 4, 5, and 6, actually. So, I think it's just in English that I made a mistake. So I'm sorry for that. So it's 4, 5, and 6. So the translation is the same. All right. So how do I start this topic now? For me, it was always a question when I started to read the book of The Secret, when I started to read a few books on spirituality, I started to watch some, started to follow some blogs where people were talking about spirituality. And I was, at that point, I had learned the surah. I was reading Quran, but I was not studying Quran. I was not, So what I'm doing right now, I think this is one of the first times since, actually the first time in my life that I'm actually doing it since last year, that I'm actually looking behind the meaning, what it actually meant, what was the context, how do you break down a word, and what does the word mean? For instance, in Arabic, just the word wa can have 19 different meanings or 20. So it's all about placement of letters in these in the Quran, and I, you know, this is one of the reasons, you know, why Quran was sent down in Arabic. So again, why the Quran was sent down in Arabic is not the topic for this podcast. That's another topic that we can, you know, you can always send me your topics that you would be interested to listen to after this podcast end, because as I said, I'm not going to end the podcast. This I mean, Iftar for Soul series will end, but I will come up with new series for sure. And your suggestions will help me to, you know, to sketch a framework of what I could talk about. And, all right. So when I used to talk about this, right, it used to talk about negative energies and, you know, how to get rid of them and what are these negative energies, the negativity around us and how our thoughts, the kind of thoughts we have all the time, how we need to have an optimistic approach and not a pessimistic approach. And I always thought that, okay, you know, perhaps that, I mean, yes, negative thoughts, negative energies, they can have an impact on our lives, the way, how we feel, what our mood is, and how our, you know, how motivation and usually works for us in general, like, right? I mean, what kind of a mindset we have, and how we feel about ourselves, for example. So I always was very curious to see how these negative energies actually work. Because for some people also, this is also, I feel that many people have told this to me, that yeah, I started to read Quran, I started to pray, but nothing happened. I still feel the same way. And then, you know, if you open the Quran, in the Quran there's an ayah, it says that in the remembrance of Allah, hearts find rest. And then some people are like, yeah, okay, I pray to Allah, I recite the Quran, but nothing really happens. I still feel anxious, I still feel down, and I still feel sad. Again, the disclaimer. I am not here to discourage anyone seeking professional help. Please do that if you feel that way. I'm just talking about the spiritual aspect here, okay? And what Quran says. So some people say that, you know, I do not find that peace that Quran promises to deliver. And so I always, this question used to come into my mind a lot. How does this actually happen that if I'm praying, I don't feel at peace. If I'm remembering Allah, it does not really work. So what's happening there? So this ayah puts one very important things in perspective. And this question that at least I had for a long time, that how does this negativity work? You know, like why is it that some days my mood is way up, some days my mood is way down? I have these cycles of sometimes I'm feeling on top of the world, sometimes I'm feeling on the bottom of the world. I'm on my lowest or my highest, you know, this interchanging mood. So it's, and I did not want to get away from the fact that I think feeling down or feeling a bit low is human emotion, and it can happen. We can never get rid of that. I did not want to get rid of it completely, but I wanted to at least feel safe while I was feeling down. So I did not want to feel completely unprotected or completely hopeless when I was not feeling in the best mood, right? So what this surah does, what this ayah talks about is شر الوسواس الخناس. So waswas, what is waswasa? Waswasa, according to Imam al-Maududi, means to whisper something. I mean, to whisper something into someone's heart, but not necessarily something good. It's something evil. So it's an evil suggestion over and over again. Right? For example, right? Like, you know, for example, no one is born a chain smoker. No one is born an alcoholic. No one is born a drug addict. You know, it's always a series of actions that take us there. For example, for me, at least the biggest examples that I've seen in my life for chain smokers is that, you always say, I'm just a social smoker. I just smoke when I'm in a company, and then that turns into, yeah, sometimes I'm feeling a bit stressed out and I'm just smoking. I just light up a cigarette. Then that turns into several moments of stress, which means several cigarettes, and then that turns into another reason. And you know, you just see, I think sometimes when we, every action or every choice we make in our lives, we can always track it down to something that initiated that. And what we believe that the, in this case, talking about Quran, what Iblis does, so Iblis is devil, but I do not want to say devil, because in English when you say devil, it has a completely different connotation than what it actually is. What it actually means in Islam is different. The devil is not how I think what our media has promoted. Devil is completely something different in Islam. And again, this is a topic, it's not a tangent that I can take right now, because I've not even started talking about what I wanted to talk about today, and it's already 16 minutes. So that's why there are several topics open out of the surah. So I'm really trying to talk concisely. And of course, if you have any questions, you can always come back to me. So Iblis is, here Allah talks about how Iblis works. That Iblis works tirelessly. He does not whisper once. It's not a suggestion that he gives you once and he goes away. He is continuously bombarding us with thoughts. So every time so in Islamic perspective, any time we are not keeping ourselves busy with work or with the remembrance of Allah, this is when the Iblis comes into play. And he never gives up. He sits and he waits for the opportunity. Waswas is this whispering. What is khannas is that, like, waswasa actually means a repetition, like the word zalzala in the Quran, which means zalzala means a shaking, and which means a repetitive movement. So waswas is basically a whisper, but waswasa is this repetition. And you know, we are tempted by just one attempt. Sometimes, you know, we need more attempts. And the word khannas, actually, it is derived from the word khunus, which means to hide after appearing. And then again, you appear after coming into view. And you appear, you disappear. You know, this is the imagery the word khannas is trying to capture. And khannas is an intensive form of the word khunus, which means that it happens way more frequently. So now imagine that this is a whisper that happens again and again, that comes again and then leaves, then comes again and then leaves. But when does it leave? From the Islamic perspective, it is when we are remembering Allah. But if you want to look at from a non-religious perspective, it is when you're not telling yourself something positive, something optimistic. If you're not cultivating the thoughts of staying positive, is exactly when this waswasa attacks. This evil whisper, that's when it creeps in. So, and if I look at the second ayah, which is allazi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, so who whispers into the evil hearts of men. Now the word heart in Arabic means qalb, and qalb appears in the Quran also. Qulub, you know, that's the plural of heart. But here the word is sudurin nas. So the scholars have actually mentioned that sudur sad is actually a place, sadar, you know, not sadar, I'm forgetting the root word here. But sudur actually means a place. So one of the scholars, I think it was Ibn Taymiyyah, I guess, he gave this beautiful imagery. He says that the heart is actually like a castle. And it's a castle because it's a very rich place, full of emotions and full of different kinds of emotions and different kinds of feelings and however you want to fill it with. And then your chest is the community around, you know, the gates around. You know, if you go back in the medieval times, you know that the castles were protected by a door. You know, there was always, you know, when you have to attack, you always have to get through the door first. And this is where, so it's so beautiful how Allah is describing this imagery, that these negativity in secular terms, but in Islamic terms, the Iblis does not attack on your heart directly. He first attacks you at the door, and then he makes his way to your heart. And all of this is so subtle that you just don't realize what's happening. I mean, I can give an example myself, right? I mean, when we think about negativity, you know, it does not always have to do with, in Islamic terms, or drinking alcohol or whatever. But I think it's also the kind of mindset we have as a human. Sometimes we feel like when we want to forgive ourselves, or when we want to start to develop a habit of doing something productive in our lives, when we want to feel good about ourselves, to work on our self-esteem, we are so often reminded of the terrible things that we have done in our lives that we feel so bad about ourselves that we're like, yeah, we are such terrible humans. What is this all about then? Why do I even have to put an effort? And I know so many Muslims who say, yeah, I drink so much, I have so much, I commit so much fornication, I'm a terrible person, why would God forgive me? So whenever you would feel this repulsion from walking on this path, an active repulsion on a spiritual level, when you would want to start bringing about a change which leads you to positivity, which leads you to the right path. And it's remarkable that the surah, if you look, so this is a surah, this is the second last surah. This is the last surah, this is the second last ayah. And if you go to Surah Al-Fatiha, the second last ayah talks about اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide me to the straight path. And in another surah, I think it's Surah Al-A'raf, Iblis says that this is exactly where I will be sitting and waiting for people. So I will be actively pushing people away from this path. Now, this is the religious realm. Now let's talk about more in practical terms, how we actually feel it in our lives. For example, when we have to get rid of drug addiction, when I need to get rid of my cake addiction, because I know this is not perhaps the right example here, but I feel that in me, because I think that cake can solve my problems, it can uplift my mood, it can make me feel better. It does, but just for a very short time. But the repercussions of my choices is that it makes me unhealthy because I'm exposing my body to sugar, lots of sugar. I gain weight. Sugar, I mean, I don't want to get into all the medical damages this sugar can do to human. But it is nothing good for the body. You know, you can have weight gain, obesity, leading to cholesterol problems, blood pressure problems, and whatnot. So, I think every time we try to do something good, we are always stopped. There's always this thought that comes to our mind. For example, right? I think it's just so easy for us to say something negative or to complain about something, but it just becomes so hard on us. It has become so hard on us to give a compliment to someone. We shame people nowadays when they give a compliment. Like, okay, you know, relax. Or I think in my opinion, excuse me, in my experience, whenever I wanted to give a compliment or when I wanted to do something good, there was always like, I don't know, what will that person think? Or what about, maybe it's too awkward, maybe I come across too strong. Or for example, I want to give charity. Is it enough charity? I just have 1 euro. Should I give 1 euro? Or I have only 10 rupees at hand. I only have 10 dirhams at hand. Does it make sense? I mean, look at all these people who are giving so much charity. But every time we want to walk towards a good path or walk towards a good decision, we are always bombarded by thoughts which go against this decision. Even, for example, in the Quran, we are commanded to take care of our bodies, to take care of what we have on us. So when you want to start to do sports, right, it's always like, yeah, just do it another time. Everything that is for good for us, we are constantly bombarded by negative thoughts. Something like we delay it, we procrastinate, something we know we should be doing for ourselves, but we end up not doing it on time. Unless there is this fear, there's this really amazing TED talk I can recommend. It's hilarious. It's a TED Talk on procrastination. It's about a PhD student who talks about procrastination and how it actually works. I can really recommend you that. So you see that this can manifest in different forms, but in Islamic, coming back to the Islamic realm, this is what Allah says, that, you know, Allah reminds people that this is something will be a constant struggle throughout your life. You cannot just say, okay, now I'm an optimist person and that's it. You are going to be constantly bombarded with these thoughts, with these whispers, with these, for example, sometimes, you know, in Islamic terms, one of the biggest things that the Iblis wants to attack is the relationships between humans, you know, like love relationships, father, son, daughter, these relationships, you know, which are at the threads of a society, which form this thread, you know, like that keeps people together. This is where the Iblis starts first. For example, like, why didn't he wish you good luck? Why you called him to your birthday? Why didn't he invite you to his birthday or her birthday? Why you invited him to your wedding? Why didn't he invite to your wedding? Do you really think he considers you as a friend? All of them are hanging out right now. Why didn't they invite you? Do you think they don't consider you as a friend anymore? These kind of negative thoughts, anything negative that comes, is usually from Iblis. But we should also realize that we cannot, because one might ask, oh, okay, so basically what every wrong that I'm doing is because of this negative energies. But no, this is not the case. We have our own evils within ourselves. And how does it work? The negative energies are only there to, for example, the Dr. Nomali Khan gives such a beautiful example, an analogy. He says that they just send you an email. It's your job to open it. For example, when we get a virus, right? The virus will not be activated unless we click on it, unless we go through it, right? So this is how, then, according to Islamic principles, this is how it works. Iblis will not claim any responsibility when the day comes. He's like, no, I just gave you the call, you picked it up. It was your choice at the end of the day. So we need to be very, very aware of this. And I think this is so beautiful that Islam again promotes this idea of conscience, of awareness, of taking always a step back and realizing where am I coming from and where am I going with this decision. Especially when we are angry. Like, you know, when we are angry, the kind of decisions we make in those moments. Anger is something that you know, anger, pride, this emotional highs we get. Now, this is where we are tried to, we are encouraged to control. So there was this beautiful example, like, given by Noman Ali Khan again. Okay, he was like, you know, when people usually get angry, we are encouraged to say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, I seek refuge in Allah from the shayateen, you know, from the devils." And again, I'm saying the understanding of devil is different in Islam. So I rather say shayateen or shaitan. And and some people, when they're angry and you ask them to say this, and they're like, okay, you think I'm a devil now? And, you know, the anger just goes on and on. And this is when the Iblis realizes that, yes, I have control over him now. So the negativity is something that has no place in Islam. And we are trying to, and Allah tries to remind people of that. That it, yes, it has no place, but it will be always coming back to you. But you need to be firm. You need to enrich your heart. You need to start taking care of what's in your heart, so that when something like this comes to you, you immediately identify. I think one of the most profound and one of the most powerful things humans can achieve is this conscience and awareness that when such a thought comes into our mind, when a such feeling comes to us, we can distinguish where is it coming from. This is a training that that at this point it's being encouraged. And before I end today's talk, I would like to refer to my notes that I took regarding the surah, is that again, in the beginning of this ayah, what was really in the beginning of the surah was again this قُلْ 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 أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ was something we also talked about in this episode of establishing boundaries. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. We talked about قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ yesterday, and today we also say قُلْ. قُلْ is, so قُلْ has been used in different form here. Here again, it has been used as yesterday. That again, Allah is reminding a human that not everything is under your control. And you should make effort to realize your weaknesses and claim your weaknesses. But you don't have to do it to the world. You don't have to go out and say, okay, you know, hey, listen, all of you, this is where my weaknesses are. But this declaration is for yourself, is for internally in your heart. I think that was very powerful, like how to, because, you know, when you are able to seek refuge when you feel weak. If you don't feel, if you are so full of yourself, if you're just so full of this mindset that, yeah, you know what, nothing can come in between me. I'm in charge of everything. I'm in control of everything. Then you will, so if you feel that powerful, then why would you seek refuge, right? So I think it's a beautiful beginning of the surah also. And I'd like to also mention one more, two more ayat that talk about the same message, where, you know, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah 97, where we again are instructed to say, Lord, I seek refuge with you from the promptings of Satan's. So, you know, again, the word prompt. And then again in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 201, I can mention this. The fact is that if ever an evil suggestion from Iblis so much as touches those who are God-fearing people, they immediately get alerted and clearly see the right course they should adopt. So this is what I meant, that, you know, this is such a, if we internalize this message, I think it's just so beautiful that we can realize that where are certain thoughts and emotions coming from? And what can we do to control them? And what is the way out of that? And I think we should not consider ourselves as evil people. I think there is always good. In the fitrah, in the human disposition, there is good. It just depends on what kind of choices we are making. Hence, it becomes more vital that we reflect upon what we do. And in matters where the negativity increases, in matters where there is especially, you know, what's interesting in the last ayah, it says, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So the evil is not only from the Iblis, but the evil also from humans. From among the humans. But when I say humans, it also, why, and I think it's just so powerful, and I think there's this very famous saying that a man is known by the company he keeps. And I think this is such, and I couldn't agree more with this saying, because I think the kind of people that we are surrounded by, you know, the kind of people that we have around us can really have an impact on us, on our moods at least. I know how I feel after I say goodbye to a certain group of people. Like, you know, when I've spent time with them and I'm going on my way home, I feel something after that. And that already shows me if I've been enriched, if I have felt worse about myself, if I feel better about myself, if I feel good now, if I feel in high spirits now. So the kind of company we keep, it really can determine many choices we make in our lives. And I'm not sitting here and telling you what kind of company you should keep, because I think that is, again, a very personal choice. And this choice is something that we all need to make. All I can say is that we should surround ourselves with people who wish us good, who enjoy us, who enjoin good, you know, who are there to encourage us to do productive things in our lives, to feel productive, to feel happy about ourselves, to feel who can instill feeling, positive feelings and feelings of gratitude in us, who can remind us of things we should be reminded of. You know what I mean? Many things in our lives come across, we think, oh, okay, I know this, again the same crap, again the same discussion. But the question is, do we internalize those messages? And I think sometimes if we are reminded of something repeatedly, and it has, which is something good, I think it's just a sign from Allah that, you know, he cares about you. Or, you know, you can say in today's times, from the secular perspective, you can say that it's a universe, or it's just someone trying to bring your attention towards something. So if we feel anything repeatedly, even if it's negative or positive, it's a moment to pause and question, where is it coming from and why is it coming, and what can I do to change it if it's destructive? So I hope and I pray to Allah that He opens our hearts to be able to identify these fine lines between our character development, and we become more aware of our weaknesses for ourselves. I think for me, I've learned a lesson that if I have identified a weakness, you know, it's something that I need to work on myself. It's not something that people have to work on for me. It's my weakness and I should take care of it. That is why at this point, spirituality and seeking professional help can do us well. We don't know who, at what point, can someone use this weakness against us. Especially toxic relationships. Right? When people tell their insecurities because they are, you know, in this honeymoon phase when everything is good. But, you know, when things go downhill, that's when you realize that this person has been judging me or whatever based on what I told them back then about myself. So let's try to spread positivity. Let's try to talk positive. Let's try to be positive. And all the negativity that we have and all the challenges we face in being positive, we try to channel them. You know, we try to channel them in healthy ways by seeking help through professional help, by seeking help through spirituality. And of course, I think we always have this one or two persons in our lives or more that we know that we can rely on them blindly. So I hope and I pray to Allah that we come across these people, we come across this path, that we walk on it and we try to become the best version of ourselves. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.